Lesson 28, Caught in a Lie. This lesson begins on page 204 of your book. This audio text version does not contain the reading of any listed footnotes. On Wednesday, the 1st of April 33, when Jesus and his disciples entered the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders were already there waiting for him. As soon as he and his disciples entered the temple, they immediately confronted him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. The modern-day temple clerics and priests will ask the Antichrist that very same question when he enters the temple on Monday morning, June 8, 2037. The real answer they will be seeking is, "By whose authority are you claiming to be operating under?" They will now fully believe the Antichrist to be a fraud, just as they believed about Jesus. No representative, Messiah or not, would ever place an idol inside the temple. Their question will in essence be a loaded one. They will now be seeking to discredit this imposter of Yeshua. The religious leaders are going to attempt to lure the Antichrist into a trap. They will set up their ruse by asking him a trick question. Either way he answers, they will have him. If he responds that his authority was given to him by legislative fiat, the United Nations, or something like that, the Jews will toss him out of the temple, by asserting Israel is a sovereign nation. "No world leader has jurisdiction here," they will say. They will contradict his authority, by denying that even signing a peace accord does not give him such privilege. The state of Israel ceded authority over the Temple Mount to the temple priests, to oversee daily operation of the temple, to include the offering of the sacrifice. If the Antichrist says his authority is from God, the Jews will charge him with blasphemy. Since the chief priests are the people who speak for God, it will be impossible for the Antichrist to defend himself against that charge. Blasphemy remains a most serious offense. Historically, it was a crime that carried the extreme punishment of death. In the time of Christ, it was the only transgression under Jewish religious authority that carried the death penalty. In the minds of the religious elite, there will be no way the Antichrist can prove his authority is from God. Either way he answers, the Jews will believe they have him. Their plan of exposing him as an impostor will have succeeded. The son of perdition's outrageous retort will shock even the most hardened of priests. He's going to answer them by stating that it is by his own innate authority by which he enters the Holy of Holies. Next, he will exhort that he himself is God. It will be a repeat of the lie Satan attempted to bring about in heaven against the Almighty in his original revolt. Satan will have given the Antichrist the ability to perform miracles and all sorts of displays of power to bolster his claim of being God Almighty. He will be given great power to deceive. He's going to claim the proof is in his demonstrated power, which he alone in the entire world was the one able to kill the two witnesses. The Antichrist is going to then claim that it is by his own power whereby he does his miracles. The Antichrist will continue to teach and spread his evil doctrine while seated in the temple before a worldwide television audience. He will once again be basking in the glory of mankind's adoration. Imagine the mental state of the world at this point in time. The population will have personally watched the spectacle of the Antichrist killing God's two witnesses on Friday. On Saturday, the Sabbath, he will clear out the temple in retaliation for the acts the Jews subjected the world to. On Sunday, he will place a life-sized stone statue inside the Holy of Holies in what will be a shockingly unbelievable act to the temple priests. Then, on Monday, he will declare himself to be God Almighty. The universal mood will be jubilant, with wild celebrations happening in the streets, in every city, all over the globe. Citizens will be sending each other gifts, due to the victory of the Antichrist over the two prophets, who placed harmful plagues and scourges on them for the past 2.5 years. The mob of people will even refuse them burial, leaving their bodies lying in the public square, right where they fell. Then, on Tuesday around noon, the heady time for the Antichrist will suddenly and unexpectedly come to an end. The Bible says that the two witnesses will have the breath of life enter them from the hand of God. And with the entire world watching, they will stand to their feet, causing great fear to fall upon all who see them. The relative honeymoon of the first half of the tribulation will have just ended. God will then call his two witnesses home, directly up to heaven. Everyone will hear his mighty voice speak the words, "Come up here." There will be no doubt remaining in any person's mind, the Antichrist is not God Almighty. And with the world watching, the two witnesses will go up into heaven in a cloud. As of Tuesday afternoon, the Antichrist will have an enormous public relations and credibility problem. He will have been ardently preaching his satanic doctrine over approximately the past 84 hours. Since the witnesses were killed Friday afternoon, there should be no mystery when they are due to be resuscitated. The Bible plainly states they will be restored to life, in full view of the world's population, precisely 3.5 days later. I often wondered how, on the one hand, the Antichrist can count the proper number of days to determine when he'll be permitted to slay them, but miss the fact they'll be resurrected on Tuesday. The Antichrist's failure to bury them will be globally recognized as a grievous mistake. Within a few moments' time, the Antichrist will have all his proud blasphemous words reduced to a pile of ash. The embarrassment factor will be overwhelming. The man who will grow accustomed to ceaseless public adulation will now find himself completely avoiding all aspects of modern society. The Antichrist, along with the closest members of his staff, will go into hiding, dodging any hint of the media. In the life of Jesus, very little is told to us about Wednesday and Thursday of Holy Week. We know that Jesus avoided being seen in public, due to his knowledge, the Pharisees wanted him dead. Jesus wasn't afraid of dying, he clearly knew the cross was in his immediate future. No, Jesus remained out of sight to keep God's prophetic timing intact. The Jews wanted him seized and taken without the knowledge of the people. They rightly suspected that if the assassination of Jesus wasn't handled properly, there could be riots and outright revolt. The Antichrist will be facing just such a situation, but with a twist. The seeing world will now know that the Antichrist is in fact not God Almighty. There can be no longer any explanation found which will satisfy the doubt felt by those seeing the two witnesses rise into the sky. Satan will have an extraordinary problem of biblical proportion. Have you ever seen anyone react to being caught unexpectedly in a lie? They usually don't have much to say initially. And if and when they do, their response follows at some time later, after they've had time to fabricate an explanation and or clarification. This is what is going to happen to the Antichrist. Following the resurrection of the witnesses on Tuesday, there's going to follow a period of total and complete silence. There won't be many options available to him, but Jesus foretold us what he's going to do with the steps he took. The Bible, by its silence on a topic, still speaks loudly to us. It informs us, Jesus avoided being seen anywhere in public on either Wednesday or Thursday of Holy Week. This equates to Tuesday and Wednesday of Unholy Week. The one item about Jesus it does reveal is when his disciples were instructed on how to locate a private place to meet for what is called the Last Supper. The instructions he gave were designed to prevent anyone from following them. He wished his location to remain a secret from those who would be searching for him. I believe this silence reflects a total media blackout for the Antichrist. When the Antichrist is ready, he will hatch a plan which will divert the public attention away from the news of the two witnesses. We see this kind of manipulation of the news media on a regular basis. Exploitation of the 24-hour news cycle has become an art form in the modern age. The key to understanding the 2 days of silence surrounding Jesus before his capture can be discovered by examining what the Bible reveals concerning the final days of his disciple, Judas. The significant events God wants us to know about are rendered in the form of prophecy. They serve as markers on God's road map for the end times. Much like a known navigation point on a journey, they give us confidence we're on the right track. The information about Judas serves the same purpose. It reveals for us the objective, as well as the motivation, for what the Antichrist will attempt to evade, remaining caught in his lie of galactic proportion. And, for a few years, it's going to work. Lesson 28, Questions for Discussion. Question 1, By whose authority did Jesus perform miracles? List a verse to back up your answer. Question 2, By whose authority will the Antichrist do his miracles? List a verse to back up your answer. Question 3, Why will the resurrection of the two witnesses discredit the Antichrist? Explain your answer. Question 4, How did Jesus cloak his location for the Last Supper with his disciples? Question 5, Why will the Antichrist seek to avoid public exposure following Monday evening? Question 6, Why was it a mistake not burying the two witnesses? What did this allow to happen? When you're ready, you can proceed on to Lesson 29, Tale of a Traitor. If you're listening using the website, just hit the back button on your browser to return to the page with the Chapter 6 lessons. Then move on to Lesson 29, Tale of a Traitor. Click on the blue box to hear the lesson with all footnotes read aloud. Click on the green box to hear the version without them. If you're using an audio player along with the thumb drive to listen to the book, it will automatically sequence to the next lesson. If you wish to stop play, just hit pause or stop. As long as you keep the thumb drive in the player, it will remember your place when you resume listening. If you're listening to the book on a computer or tablet, manually selecting which lesson to listen to next, click on the File Explorer to pull up the thumb drive menu. Then, click on the box for Lesson 29, labeled 6.29, Tale of a Traitor, to hear the next lesson.